Good evening. I count myself abundantly blessed because I get to tell the old, old story. Amen. Just like the last verse of this song, those who know it best, that would be you, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And that is a blessing indeed. And I appreciate so much the fact that you are here this evening. Let me ask you this question as we begin. Do you want the church to grow? Yeah, we do, don't we? I hope that answer, and you've indicated so, is a resounding yes, because if we don't want the church to grow, frankly, we need to repent, and I'm not just kidding around. We need to desire that the church would grow. If the church is growing, it's because souls are being saved. What does Acts 2:47 tell us? The Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. And conversely, if the church is not growing, it's because souls aren't being saved. And so I don't know how any sincere, knowledgeable Christian can be okay with that. I don't believe that we are okay with that. About a month or so ago, we looked at the value of God's kingdom. And of course, the current manifestation of God's kingdom is the church. And so we are talking about the value of the church. And then tonight we want to look at the growth of God's kingdom. And I'd like for you, if you would please, to turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4. We're going to read a couple of parables there. And then we'll turn and read one from Matthew, which I'll specify in a moment. But we're in Mark, chapter 4, beginning in verse 26 and reading on through verse number 32. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. He himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. Then he said, to what shall we liken the kingdom of God, or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it is sown on the ground, smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all the herbs, and shoots out large branches, so that the birds of the air may nest under it. So we have the parable of the grain then, and the parable of the mustard seed. And now, if you would, turn with me also to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And this is just one verse, a little short parable, number 33, verse 33. Another parable he spoke to them, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till it was all leavened. So there's three parables about the growth of the kingdom. How can we apply those things? What do those things have to do with us? I want us to look at some things in regard to what Jesus said in these three parables. Number one is that the kingdom grows when the seed is planted. You might think, well, Joe, that's kind of a duh statement. I mean, everybody knows that. Seed grows when it's planted, doesn't it? And yet that's something that I think sometimes we may neglect to understand or just forget about it. The man scattered seed upon the earth. And we know other parables that Jesus told. The parable that we call the parable of the sower or the soils, where the man scattered seed out in his field. The mustard seed was sown on the ground. How about the leaven? The leaven was put into three measures of meal. And so it grew when the seed was sown. Luke chapter 8, as we mentioned, the parable of the sower. The man scattered seed all over the place. He wasn't particular I didn't say, well, I'm going to scatter some here and scatter some over there, but I won't put any over there. Just put it everywhere. He was not a soil analyst, was he? He was a seed sower. We are not charged to be soil analysts. I've told you 1,000 times, I flunked mind reading 101, and I don't think you passed it either. We have no business trying to look into somebody's mind and say, well, I just don't think that person would be interested. We need to sow the seed everywhere. Look at the song we sing. Are you sowing the seed of the kingdom, brother or sister? Don't want to be a sexist here. We are to be sowing the seed. Matthew chapter 28, Luke chapter 16, Mark chapter 16 rather, and Luke chapter 24. Jesus gives the commission to his disciples. Take the gospel into all the world. Preach it to every creature. Preach repentance and remission of sins to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. In Acts chapter 1, we see that same commission given. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. And so once again, the seed of the kingdom is to be sown. We are under divine mandate to tell the story of Jesus to every person that we can in our world. Now, I realize there are 8 billion, that's billion with a B, people on this planet. If you and I were to reach one person every second, we couldn't live long enough to reach them all. I understand that, but we can do what we can do. We can work where we can work with those who will listen. The kingdom grows when the seed is planted. The seed, of course, being God's word. The growth of the kingdom, secondly, is gradual and it's orderly. And once again, this is no surprise. I'm a farm kid. You've all raised gardens. You know about planting seed and you know how it grows. You have the sowing of the seed and then you wait a while and what happens? Here it comes up through the ground. Just the little sprout and that's it. And then it gets bigger and it leafs out and just grows gradually. As time goes on. We don't expect when we go out and plant seed that it's going to grow up overnight and we'll harvest it the next day. That would be foolish, wouldn't it? And likewise, sometimes the seed of the kingdom takes some time to grow, even after we've planted it. Planted into the hearts of men and women, it may take some time for it to grow. And we need to respect that and not become discouraged and unhappy because someone didn't obey the gospel the first time that they heard it. Think of those of us who have raised children. When the baby was born, what happened? Baby weighs 8 pounds, 4 ounces, and is 19 inches long. And in about a week, we go back and we measure again, don't we? Because we're looking for growth. Maybe we've got a half inch of growth and an additional 8 ounces of weight. Yay, that's good. And so we keep on measuring periodically, but do we keep doing that every week? No, we realize it's going to take some time. And so maybe it's in a few months. Then we make the little mark on the wall. Did you make a mark on the wall to see how tall your kids were? And you weighed them? Yeah, we did that too. And so that's the way that we do. We don't expect them to go from being a newborn to being 18 years old and graduating from high school the next day. That would be ridiculous. And likewise, it is with the growth of the kingdom. We don't grow a head of grain before the blade is formed. We shouldn't expect a new Christian to be mature until that person has had some time to grow. That's would be like expecting a newborn baby to run the 4-minute mile when he's a week old. Well, how ridiculous is that? It takes time. And so the kingdom grows in an orderly manner. Third thing I want us to see tonight is that the growth of the kingdom comes from God. Something Jesus said there in Mark, chapter 4, about the seed that was planted. The man went out and planted it, and then Jesus said it grew. He knows not how. Did you catch that when I read it? He knows not how. I remember my dad saying over and over, I can plant the seed. He was a farmer. I grew up a son of a farmer. I can plant the seed, but I can't make it grow. God makes it grow. And my dad had some ideas about God and the Bible that you would not agree with, and I didn't agree with them either. But I'll credit him with this. He knew who makes the seed grow, and it wasn't him. And I appreciate that fact. Any farmer knows you can plant, you can water, but who makes it grow? Didn't Paul say the same thing in 1 Corinthians 3:6? You've heard me quote it 100 times. I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. We can plant and water, but the growth of the kingdom comes from God. Let's look at another thing, number 4. The kingdom started small, but it became bigger and bigger, a whole lot bigger than many might have thought possible. The mustard seed that Jesus talked about. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? Like he's talking, they're little bitty things. You wouldn't think a mustard seed could grow into much of anything. And yet Jesus talks about this growing into, virtually into a tree. Big enough for a bird to nest in. Now, birds aren't all that picky, I guess, but they've got to have a big enough place that they can get in and build the nest and have something for it to be solid and hide as well. It's helpful if you can hide. Keeps the owls and the hawks away. So that's something to consider. The size of the kingdom. The mustard seed, you wouldn't think, could grow into much of anything. I've researched this a little bit, and it said that a mustard plant can grow to 10 or 12 feet. That's pretty big. That's almost like a tree, isn't it? And so Jesus used this in another illustration. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed. In other words, it's not very big to begin with, but it can grow. And it can grow more than you might think originally possible. And of course, a person can do the same. You can do the same in your spiritual life. You can grow. You might start off not having a great, big, strong, robust faith, but you can grow in that. And God will help you to grow. He'll help you through his word to do that very thing. A church can do the same thing, whether it be a local congregation or the church in the universal sense. Look at the way the church grew in the book of Acts. Have you ever just taken a walk through the book of Acts? You start off in Acts 2, and what do you have? 3,000. Would I love to see that? I would just love to jump in my handy-dandy time machine and go back to Pentecost Day and look at what happened there. I can't even comprehend that. 3,000. And before long, the number of men came to be about 5,000. And then you read about multitudes coming to the Lord and becoming believers. And you just walk through the book of Acts, and it's growing exponentially. Amazing. What do we start off with? 12 apostles. And a group of believers gathered in the upper room. Just a handful, relatively speaking, compared to the world and even to the city of Jerusalem. Just a handful. And before long, we're talking about tens of thousands. Who would have thought? I said, well, no, that can't possibly be. It happened. It's real. And so the church starts out very, very small, but it grows explosively. And then what we want to see from that point on, there's two more things that we're going to point out. Number five is that growth of the kingdom results from change on the inside. Change on the inside of the person. Think of the parable of the leaven that was placed into dough. By the way, that says there was leaven placed into 3 measures of meal. You know how much 3 measures of meal is? Ladies, get this. I want you to do this. It's about a half a bushel. So get you a half a bushel of flour. I'd make a lot of donuts, you know what? It really would. So that's a not very subtle hint. But that's a lot. 3 measures of meal. And so here is the leaven. And you know what happens when you put the leavening agent in the dough, the bread dough. There is a chemical change that occurs as the yeast gets a hold of sugar, basically, of carbohydrates, and changes that. And what you get as a byproduct of that is something that some people don't like anymore, and that's carbon dioxide. And so the little bubbles of carbon dioxide come out, and that's what causes the dough to rise. And so it isn't just a big flat hunk of dry, crusty bread, but it's light and fluffy and like you want it. And so the change from the inside is what causes that dough to rise. It does its work from the inside, not the outside. What would that tell us about the Word of God? You know, I can't dump something on you. I can't spray you with something that's going to cause you to grow in your spiritual life, can I? It's going to be God's Word on the inside. That's what's going to produce growth within you. And as you grow, the church grows because you're part of the body. The kingdom grows when God acts upon the human heart, resulting in change. The word convert means to change. If you are converting your car engine, see, I don't want a gasoline engine anymore. I want a diesel engine. I'm not sure whether that's smart or not, but regardless, that's going to require some change, isn't it? There might be some similarities between a gasoline engine and a diesel engine, but there are some serious differences. So there's going to be change that takes place. Likewise, conversion of the person to Christ and growth afterward requires change. What does Paul say? Don't be conformed to this world, Romans chapter 12, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That idea of transformation is the idea of change, conversion. And so, yes, the change takes place from the inside out. Unless one is changed from the inside out, there is no true conversion. Are any of your trees leafing out at the house? Some of them are beginning to, aren't they? My poor little oak tree is always the last tree, I think, on the planet to leaf out. That's just the variety. There's nothing wrong with it. But I get impatient, and I want it to leaf out now. So what I'm going to do, I'm sure I can find some green construction paper around here somewhere. I'm going to get my scissors, and I'm going to cut some leaves out, and I'm going to glue them on to the branches. Think that'll work? It'll make my neighbors think I'm a total idiot, which that would be rather strange and bizarre, wouldn't it? But that's not conversion, is it? That's not change from the inside. That tree will leaf out when it changes from the inside. And we'll see the buds, and then finally, after all the other trees in the neighborhood have leafed out, this one will leaf out as well. And so that's conversion. That's change from the inside out. That's how the kingdom grows. And finally, tonight, let's look at number 6. The growth of the kingdom is due to a spreading influence. And again, we refer to the parable of the leaven. And in that half bushel of meal, that's a lot of spreading. It's going to have to go a long ways. But it continues spreading and spreading and spreading until Jesus said the whole measure, the whole lump of dough, if you will, was completely leavened. And so by its very nature, leaven spreads into dough that isn't leavened yet. That's what it does. That's the nature of a leavening agent, and you know that if you've made bread before. God's word will permeate the world. That's what God designed it to do. When people hear God's word and are genuinely converted, what will they do? What will we do? What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to spread it to others. Not keep it for ourselves, because we don't lose anything, do we? If I share something with you, you know, if I share my ice cream with you, I might not have as much ice cream as I think I need. But if I share God's word with you, I haven't lost anything, have I? And when we share God's word with our world around us, we're not the poorer for it, we're the richer for it. It's a good thing. We actually benefit from doing that. And so let's realize that God's kingdom grows from a tiny little seed into a mighty tree. It spreads from that small little bit of leaven in a lump of dough into having a great big, you know, half a bushel of it that is all leavened. The question for you and for me is, will we let God's word grow in our hearts, and will we spread that to our family, our friends, our neighbors, our co-workers, other acquaintances, even those we may not know personally? As we have opportunity, that is our job, to do that very thing. So I hope that as we've talked about the growth of the kingdom tonight, that will encourage us and inspire us to do the right thing, to let God's word grow within our hearts and to spread that to others around us. If tonight you're subject to the Lord's invitation, we stand and sing to invite your response.